A very good morning to you. I'm so glad to see you. Many familiar faces, but I also do see some new faces. And I hope to have an opportunity to have fellowship with you. The chairman has just announced earlier on. I've just arrived from Singapore yesterday. And looking forward to spending time in fellowship with you. And pray that God will bless you through the sharing of His precious word. Please turn your Bible again to Mark chapter 12. We are familiar with the scripture text which we have just read. This story is recorded in Matthew and also in Luke. In Matthew and Luke, we are told that a lawyer came to tempt Jesus by asking him a question, which is the great commandment in the law. Now, in the book of Mark, we are told that a scribe came to him. So, very apparently, this man is both a scribe and a lawyer. And we know that in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, many scribes, or in fact, all the scribes are trained in the law of God. And they are called lawyers in some of the scripture texts recorded in the gospel. Now, it is interesting to see the reply of the Lord Jesus. He says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then the Lord further says, that there is none other commandment greater than this. Now, I believe Jesus' answer is beyond the hearer's expectation. He will probably would have expected the Lord to reply and say that the first great commandment is this, that thou shalt have no other gods beside me. But the Lord Jesus gave him this answer. Now, on many occasions, Jesus was approached with questions. Some were genuine questions, others were asked by the Pharisees for the purpose of trapping him. They wanted to catch him saying the wrong thing and then punish him for the wrong that he said or he did. Now, I want you to take note that there is a common trap in Jesus' reply. Okay, each time when he is asked a question, and the way he replied the people who asked him, he would make quotations from the Old Testament. Right? In other words, he replied by quoting the Old Testament. One of the classic examples would be the temptation by the devil in the wilderness. Another passage which we are familiar with. In Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 11, we have this incident where the Lord fasted for 40 days. And we are told that he was hungry and the devil came to tempt him. And this is the first temptation. There are three of them. The first temptation is this. The devil says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, obviously, it was a temptation. The devil says, "If thou be the Son of God." Right? The Lord Jesus obviously knew that he is the Son of God. But the devil says, "If thou be the Son of God, make this stone into bread." And this is the reply of the Lord Jesus. He says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, we knew that he quoted this from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Listen with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. The fifth book of the Old Testament. Chapter 8. And in verse 3, it reads, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that man, that he might make thee know, that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, of the Lord doth man live. So we see that the Lord quoted from the Old Testament. Right? And then the second temptation is this, that if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, and the angels will bear thee up, such that your foot will not dash against the stone. Right? And then again, the Lord replied by quoting from the scripture. He quoted from the same book, and in chapter 6 and verse 16, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. So, here we have the Lord replying the devil, saying that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then you have the third temptation. Now the devil brought him up to the mountain, and then showed him the kingdom of the world, and says, look at all this glory, the glory of this world. And he says, I will give you this glory, this kingdom of the world, if thou wilt bow down and worship me. Now, we look at this temptation and we see the irony. He says, if thou be the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God. Alright? He says, jump down and the angels will come and lift you up. Now, he is the Son of God. The angels served him. And then now the devil says, look at the glory of this world, I'll give it to you. But the world, it's the Lord's, the footstool. He stands on it. And the Lord replied him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, now with the combination of chapter 6, verse 13, and chapter 10, verse 20. Now, look at those two verses yourself. Okay. Now, you would see that the Lord Jesus uses the scripture to counter the devil's temptation. Now, I want to say this, that we are tempted in our lives. And we know that we are tempted to do something that is wrong. And often we feel ourselves weak in facing the temptation. And we ask, how can I overcome temptation? Now I want to tell you this, that the way to overcome temptation is to know the Word of God. Because the Lord Himself used the Scripture against the evil one. And this is what we must do. So we talk about memorizing God's Word. We talk about reading God's Word. This is how important the Word of God is to each one of us. And I hope that we take God's Word seriously. This is the way to victory in our life. And there's a song that says, faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Yes, this is the way to overcome the evil one. Now we want to come back to the question posed by the scribes. Alright? And I want you to see that the Lord used the same method. That is, he quoted the scripture. Now he said to the scribes, the first commandment is this, that thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then the second commandment is to love the neighbor, your neighbor, as yourself. And we find that these two commandments are found in the Old Testament scripture. For the first commandment, the first great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, it is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I would like us to read verses 4 to 9 together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Let's read together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I have command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. We'll just read up to verse 9. Now, this passage of scripture is well known to every Jew. This passage is known as Shema Israel. The Jews would recite them twice daily. Parents will read this passage of scripture to their children. And there's also a reminder to parents that we are to teach this diligently to our children. Talk about them. And then when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, you contemplate on this passage of scripture. What we want to see is the Lord says we are to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, I want to answer a few questions. Number one, why must we love God supremely? What does it mean to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind? Let's take these phrases one at a time. Let's look at the first phrase. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Okay, we are commanded to love God with all our hearts. Now what is the heart? In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, the writer says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now the heart is the seat of one's emotion. This is where our will, our desires, our passions are located. You see, we do not love God naturally. Man in a fallen estate, condition, does not love God naturally. Do we realize that? How many of us who claim to believe in God and in our heart says, I must love God? And loving Him with all our hearts. Now, I don't think many of us have that idea, right? Probably, okay, we come to this truth when we read the scripture. We have to love God with all our hearts. So what the Bible is telling us is, we are to deliberately choose to love Him. Because the heart is the will, the seeds of our emotion. The choices we make in our lives are from the heart. So, the Bible wants us to choose with deliberation to love our God. See, by nature, we don't. We don't love God. Now, we know that we ought to love Him with our hearts. The second phrase says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Now, this is a little difficult. We know to love God with all our hearts. Okay? But what is to love God with all our soul? Now, first of all, When God created us, He gave us a soul. We are human beings with a living soul. Okay, what then is the soul? I believe the soul is our real self. We know our existence. We are conscious of our existence. We are aware that we worship God. So the soul is our consciousness that we are alive, and the soul enables us to worship God. Now what then is to love God with all our soul? I want to turn you to a passage. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And here we have the record of the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26. And let's read together verses 36 to 38. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I will just read up to you here. Now I want you to note the phrase. The Lord Jesus says, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Okay. Now, his soul is sorrowful. In other words, he experienced sorrow. Not only in his body, but in his emotion, in his mind. So we are told to love God with our soul. And looking at this text, I would say that we have to love God with our emotion, with the inner being. Do we love God that way? Is there an emotional response when we read about the Lord Jesus Christ suffering and death? Now, it's one thing to read about the death of somebody. Okay. And we know death happens everywhere. But it doesn't affect me. Until the person who is taken away is somebody dear to me. I just lost a sister-in-law just 2 weeks ago. She passed away because of, she has been suffering from cancer for some years, and finally she succumbed to her illness. The Lord is good. Some weeks before she passed away, she accepted Christ as her Savior. So I say, the Lord took her home. She finally found her rest. And what I want to say is that her death affected me and my family, because she's our sister-in-law. Someone close to us, someone we know. And so at a funeral service, there's sadness. There's tears. Now I want to use this to illustrate loving God emotionally. Loving God with all our soul. Are we touched by the love of God? Do we sense His love daily? Every morning when we see the sunshine, and when you hear the birds singing, is there that emotional response towards God? That we want to say, God, thank you that we are alive, we have a new day, we enjoy His mercy, Loving God with all our soul is to love Him emotionally. I hope we do that. Right. It is not merely a mental knowledge. Yes, God loved me. He died for me. I think we have to develop that love for God deeper. So with all our hearts, meaning we have to choose to love Him because our hearts makes the choice. We have to love Him with all our soul. Emotionally, there will be responses. And then lastly, we are told to love God with all our might. Now, we have some idea about loving God with all our strength, our might. Very interestingly, the word might comes from the same translation as the word very. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. Let me read the verse to you. And God saw everything that He had created, and behold, it was very good. Remember, I said that the word might comes from the same word as the word very. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, God saw His creation with the creation of man now. And He says that it was very good. Now we understand why. After the creation of man, God saw that it was good. Now, if God had created the beautiful universe minus mankind, then what is the use of having a beautiful universe? The purpose of having a beautiful creation is so that man may enjoy it. And that is how God has blessed us. But I want to see that the word might comes from the same Hebrew word as very. So God saw the creation as very good. And we are to love God very. Now what I do see here is this, that God wants us to love Him with every faculty of our being. Okay? We love Him not only with our heart, with our soul, with our head. Now, we are to show how we love Him. And how do we show we love Him? We want to serve Him. We want to honor Him in our life. When we make decision, we have this in our mind that we want to please Him. And that is how we should be loving our God. And is that the way we love Him? Let me ask a simple question. We know that we ought to be in church on Sunday, and of course we worship here at 11 a.m. Do we choose to come to worship Him? Now, if you are to make a decision between coming to church and going somewhere else, how do you make your choice? I hope our choices are made based on the first commandment, the greatest commandment. That is, I want to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. And that's my choice. God first. I hope we love God in that manner. Okay, we have not actually answered the first question. Why must we love God supremely? Now, I want to give you three reasons. Number one, we love Him because He is God. We love Him for who He is. Now, going back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. You remember, I said that the passage of scripture is known as Shema Israel. The Jews recite it twice a day. Parents read it to their children every night. The statement starts with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, it's just not merely a doctrine of God. There's only one God. But what I want you to note is this, that parents are impressing upon their children that there is God and He's living. Many of us is this mental knowledge. There is God. But is God living? Is He real in our life? And when we say we believe in God, we must believe that He is a living God. The Lord our God is one Lord. And because He is one Lord, He is living. Chapter 6 verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind." So the first reason for loving God is this. He is God. He's real. He's living. And then you may give all other reasons. You know, He blessed me. He saved me. Right? He healed me from my sickness. But I think that all of us must have this knowledge that He is the one and living God. And we have to love Him. Now this also brings us to the Ten Commandments. Now what is the first of the Ten Commandments? The Bible says that there's only one God. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Right? And then the Lord says that thou shalt not make any image and then bow down to it. Because no image is like unto God. We have to love God for who He is. Secondly, we have to love Him because He first loved us. Now this is very interesting. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 says this, that we love Him because He first loved us. Now today we are able to love God. It is because God has first shown His love towards us. Remember Romans 5, it says that God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. I think for many of us here, we came to know Christ sometime in our life. I know how many of you are born into a Christian family. I see that there are some young people, some children, and they are likely born and raised in a Christian family. But for many of us here, we came to know the Lord sometime in our lives. Right? Someone told us this, that God loves us, God sent His Son to die for us. And God is, in His mercy, gave us faith. So we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we start to grow in our faith. We start to experience the love of God in our life. And we are able to love God because He first loved us. You see, without the new birth, without regeneration, we cannot love God. We are dead in our sin and trespasses. But when the Lord Jesus Christ come into our life, He makes us a new creation. Then we are able to love Him. So the second reason is this, that we love Him because He first loved us. Now are we gripped by this truth that God loves you? I think we might have to ask this question. I'm saying we ask this question not in the sense that we are in a state of self-debasing. Okay? The question that we should ask is this. Why should God love me? Who am I that God should set His love upon me? Every time when we think about this truth, this matter, then I start to realize that, you know, it's so wonderful that God has chosen to love me. Not because of any good that is in me. I have not done anything worthy of His love. Yet God says He has chosen me before the foundation of the world, and I believe that He has set His heart to love me, to love you from the very beginning. So the third reason, in fact I've just said, is that we love God because He sent His Son to die for us. Now this truth must always be a reality in our life, that Christ died for my sin, for your sin. How do we love God? Is the next question. Now, I said that we have to love God with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. Yes, that is the way we should love God. But I want you to see something else this morning. Okay. When the Lord replied the lawyer, you have to love Him with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. The two commandments are actually a summary of the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments relates to our relationship with God. Right? We know that there is only one God. We shall not make any images and bow down before them. We are not to take God's name in vain. And then the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath holy. Alright? So the first four commandments has to do with our relationship with God. And it's very interesting that the fifth commandment starts with honor your father and your mother. Okay? And then you read on. The rest of the commandments have to do with our relationship with our fellow human being. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses, thou shalt not covet. Right? It has to do with our relationship with our fellow human being. Okay? And then it starts with honor your father and your mother. Okay? And I believe that our relationship with others can only be right when our relationship with our parents are right. Right? Now, I have two children. They are grown up. Okay? They have good friends and they talk to their friends, sometimes on the phone, sometimes the friend comes to our house. Okay? And they talk very well. Okay? Never in an argument, even if they disagreement, you know, they always get through it. But they find it very hard to talk to us as their parents, right? Do you find it difficult to talk to your parents? Some of us do. Okay? Somehow there's a breakdown. I think that we should build good relationship with our parents. Now, do not let baggages affect us. I know some of us do carry some baggages, especially with our parents. Okay? The Lord wants us to honor our father and our mother. And this is the commandment that comes with a promise that thy days shall be long on earth. Okay? And then He goes on with other commandments. And it relates our relationship with others. So, if you look at the two great commandments that the Lord told the lawyer, love God with all our hearts, in fact, it is fulfilling the first four commandments. See? If you do not believe that there is one God, you can't love Him with all your heart. If you make images and worship, you can't love the only one true God with your heart. If you take God's name in vain, you cannot love that one and the living God. And if you do not keep the Sabbath holy, then it is no evidence that you love God. So when I say, how do we love God? I say that we have to keep the four commandments. I know that people do ask, are the commandments, the Ten Commandments, relevant today? I want to say they are relevant today. See, when God says we have to love Him with all our hearts, then we have to know the first four commandments. Believe in one God. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are careful not to take God's name in vain. And then we desire to come into His house to worship Him. Then the Lord told the lawyer, the second commandment is like unto this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, how we treat ourselves should be the way we treat others. Because He says, love thy neighbor as thyself. We all love ourselves. Okay. There's nothing wrong in loving yourself. Because if we do not know how to love ourselves, how do we love others? And what do we mean by loving others? It is to keep the fifth to the tenth commandment. You see that? So when I say I love my neighbor, I'm keeping the fifth to the tenth commandment. If I love my neighbor, I will not have the desire to kill, I will not have the desire to steal, I do not have the desire to covet. I will not look upon a woman to laugh after her, because the Lord Jesus says that to look upon a woman and to lust after her is to commit adultery. So you know one of the commandments, the seventh commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. So that is how we should be loving God. So in summary, loving God, loving others, is fulfilling the Ten Commandments. Is that the way we love God? I hope we are exercising ourselves to love God daily with our hearts. It's a deliberate choice to love Him. With our soul, there's emotional response to God's love. With all our mind, there is every faculty of being is employed to love Him. Now, there's a last question that I want to answer. What is the consequence of not loving the Lord? Do you know that there is a serious consequence? Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22 reads, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Now, the word anathema is a very strong word. The word means to be accursed. So if we do not love the Lord, a curse is set upon us. And that is how serious Paul deems it. And it's interesting that in the conclusion of his first epistle to the Corinthians, he says this, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The word maranatha is an Aramaic word which means the Lord comes. The two words are separated. The Lord is coming. We know that truth. But how does this truth affect our life? This is important. If we say the Lord is coming to save us, and our hearts are not set to love Him, then we are not ready for His coming back. So the question is, how do I prepare myself for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is this. We are to love Him. Love Him with all our hearts. So I want to conclude my sermon this morning by asking this question, which is not part of the three questions. That is, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? If you say, I do, then I want to ask the next question. How do you love Him? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Are you loving Him in keeping the commandments? I hope you do. May God help us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the reminder that we are to love You with all our hearts. Lord, forgive us. We confess that our love for You is not deep enough. We also realize that so often we're inclined to love the world. Lord, I pray that You'll remove the love of the world from us so that we can love You fully. I pray that You will bless this word to the hearts of the hearers. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.